This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman. Welcome you all to the 38th, count them, 38th Grassroots Emergency Election Protection Coalition a Zoom call. All my wonderful listeners out at the on the Progressive Radio Network, I want to welcome you to the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We do this every week. This is a, you can't see us, but we got 67 people so far on our chat today. We're going to go an hour and a half. You and PR Enland, this will end in an hour in, and you can go to grassrootsep.org or electionprotection2024.org and pick up the link and listen to the rest of the call. Last week, we went to, we did our hour and we did our hour and a half. We ended at 3:40 California time. And then we turned off the recording and we talked for another hour and a half, for God's sakes. So it was a 3-hour excursion. Happy to do it anytime. This is an incredibly wonderful group of people. It's a joy to be with you all every week. And we are going to continue right through the 2024 election, because we have major things we have to change in this society. We are, our group is going to specifically continue to focus on protecting paper ballots and voting by mail. And we're also working on gerrymandering. And I got my Michigan shirt on because, A, we need a new football coach, as do the Green Bay Packers, but we won't go into that. And B, Michigan has won a major victory on gerrymandering. They have a constitutional amendment now that ends gerrymandering and installs the kind of nonpartisan election, districting commission that gives us districts that aren't gerrymandered. Can you imagine that? They're actually competitive and representative, and that's what we're looking for in our American system. I will say, as we're on this topic, that the number one danger in the 2020 election was the fact that the key states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Arizona, all had heavily gerrymandered legislatures that could have overthrown the election and could have taken control of the Electoral College without storming the Capitol. And so by 2024, we need to have legislatures that are actually representative of the constituents of the state. And that will probably have to be done by a referendum. About half the states in this country, about 26 states, have the initiative and referendum in various forms. And so we are looking for people in all states to check your laws, see if you can do referendum, and see, look at the districting commissions, the one that's just been won in Michigan, and the ones in Iowa and California, which have been with us for a while and are very, very successful. There are nonpartisan, beautifully drawn congressional and state legislative districts in California, Michigan, and Ohio. We want to replicate that all over the country. And at this point, it's not likely that gerrymandered legislatures are going to get rid of gerrymandering without a major push. And one major push is to do constitutional amendments. We usually win those, usually by 60%. Gerrymandering is extremely unpopular. And public votes on gerrymandering almost always get rid of it. That's one major agenda item. And the other is to protect, again, probably by statewide constitutional amendment, although we're going to talk about HR1, the right of all American citizens to a paper ballot, to be able to mail it in or walk it in, to have it counted and scanned. We do support digital scanning of paper ballots. We do not support digital ballot marking devices, which are a nightmare and eminently hackable. So that's the top of the hour. That's where we're at. This is number 38 on these calls. And we always love movement people do not do this enough. We love to celebrate a victory. And we just had a major victory in New York. We're going to talk about that. We have Daniel Blackman on, tell us about the election in Georgia for Public Service Commission. We've got the great Ray McClendon with Joel Siegel, to talk about an upcoming summit that we have are planning now, which is a very big deal for February 25th. We want to lay that out there. We do have Steve Rosenfeld on, our great expert, to talk about the Brennan Center has put out a list of what's going on. It's going to be in the chat of an election protection around the country. We have Hetty Tripp, my buddy, who's going to talk to us about a great women's group and show us a couple of slides on that. Dr. Laura from Chicago is going to jump us into a discussion on mailed out paper ballots. And we're also going to, in addition to HR1, we're going to talk a bit about DC statehood. Next week, we're going to have a pretty detailed discussion about statehood in Puerto Rico. Most of us mainlanders assume, or tend to assume, that statehood is something Puerto Rico wants and it should be represented in the Senate and all that stuff. But actually, the jury is really out about whether statehood is really popular or the right thing for Puerto Rico. There's a very strong independence movement there, which is very much to the left of the statehood movement, and it's something we want to discuss. That'll be next week. Okay, so let's start off. We have two great, I don't know if Julie Wiener is with us, but we have the great Lubu Freestad.
Here.
Julie, you are, and Howie yeah. Hawkins from the Green Party. But it's always great to have a presidential nominee on our calls. But we want to start with Lubu Freestad. Lubu made the initial presentation on what went on in New York. And let's wave our flags and celebrate. And Lubu, tell us what happened there. Get you unmuted. And there you go. Okay, Lubu Freestad, please.
Hi, Harvey. Thanks so much for having me on and for this great call. We had a victory in New York and we're really, really excited. It's so important to celebrate when we win. It's sometimes few and far between. So what happened was a system called the Express Vote XL, that's a voting machine, a ballot marking device made by ES&S. Many of you are familiar with it. There's a number of things about it that security experts are very concerned about. One is that it has this very strange design because it's called a hybrid machine. I went over this on the last call. It combines a printer and a scanner in one unit. And because of that, they have a shared paper path. And after the voter casts their, we don't really call it a ballot, it's the summary card, that that summary card goes back under the print head. And security experts have been very, very concerned about that, because when that summary card passes back under the print head, if the machine is under the control of malware, it could change the vote. And Professor Andrew Appel actually said in one of his blogs that it could add, change, or delete votes. There's different ways that that could happen. I don't want to necessarily go into all that, but it's very concerning. And in addition to that, the machine prints instead of actually counting like hand-marked paper ballots or even counting that print that it prints out of the list of candidates, it actually has a barcode that represents each candidate's name and it counts the barcodes. And that's one of the reasons. So what happened was it was up for certification in New York. They'd actually been considering that certification for a year and a half. We'd been fighting it from the very beginning. Smart Elections and other groups that worked with us went as early as it was June 6th of 2019, we went and actually protested in front of the New York State Board of Elections. We had signs and t-shirts. Jenny Cohn actually was with us on that trip. She flew out from San Francisco and we spoke at the board, and we had Andrew Appel. He left his vacation and came and spoke before the board that time. That was a year and a half ago. So they took all that time in terms of trying to certify it. The board did actually try to stop the certification at one point in May of 2019. We found out that the New York State Board of Elections stopped the certification process, and ES&S, the vendor, threatened to sue them. They sent a letter threatening a lawsuit, and so the board capitulated and continued the certification process. So what happened after all this year and a half buildup, we sent there was a whole coalition behind this, including, like, Julie's on the call, her group is Citizens for Voting Integrity New York, also CCO Hope Indivisible, Bethlehem Morning Huddle, Dutchess County Progressive Action Alliance, the NIPAN scrutineers that's on the call, Jennifer's group, Validate the Vote, tons, like over 50 groups and experts signed a letter. We sent over 700 letters to the legislature, and we sent over 500 letters to the New York State Board of Elections. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many groups and experts participated in this. And what happened was on Thursday, there was a meeting, a special meeting held by the New York State Board of Elections, and they voted not to certify the Express Vote XL. Yay! So it was pretty amazing. We were very, very happy. Again, it was a huge, huge coalition effort. Everybody helped. And the next step now, what we're doing is we are moving on to try to get legislation here in New York State that would ban hybrid voting machines, and we're hoping that that legislation can then be a template for states across the country. The Express Vote XL is in use in Pennsylvania, in Delaware, in New Jersey, and it is certified in California and Texas. So we put a lot of documents on our website, and I'm going to start putting links in the chat so you can use the same strategies that we used in your state to either prevent the Express Vote XL or other hybrid systems from being certified there. And you can, you know, contact us and we'll give you as much help as we can. This is the letter that we over. Huh? Sorry, I muted by accident. This is the letter that over 50 groups and experts signed. This is letter of experts and groups. And I'm putting that into the chat. That has a lot of information in it about problems with this system. And there's lots and lots of links there that gives you a lot of information. And then in addition to that, we put a lot of documents on the website that have problems that this system has. So, sorry, I'm having to just navigate these different browsers and make sure that I don't mute myself at the same time. It keeps landing back on the mute button. Okay, this is a page on our website called ESNS Problems. And you can also just get there. Our website is smartelections.us. And if you go to voting equipment and then do the drop down and pick ESS Problems, you'll see there's a lot of documents, including a white paper from Common Cause, a security paper from a number of security experts, 7 separate disability groups signed on to a letter against this machine because it's not comfortable for voters with disabilities. And there are another document, which is 28 pages of complaints that voters with disabilities had with this system. In addition to that, there's documentation about ways that ESNS lied, both to New York State about their litigation history, and they also lied to New York State initially saying that the system was a Windows 10 system, but in fact it's running on Windows 7 software still. So there's just a whole series of problems with the machine and problems with that vendor, and we've documented those for you. We encourage you a couple things. If you're in New York, please come this Friday at noon. That's when we have our Smart Elections New York Working Group, and we're working on legislation. So I'll put the easiest way to come to that is if you go to our website, smartelections.us, on the front page, it has the sign up for the Zoom link. And then the other time that we'll be talking about this is on our election security forum, and that'll be on February 9th. And we'll be talking about what other states can do and how you can help us here in New York. So, and I know Julie's gonna dive in. She's working with Citizens for Voting Integrity New York, and they've been a real leader in New York. They've done wonderful work and really are ahead of the curve on so many of these issues. So a big shout out to her, and I'll pass the baton.
Okay, very good. We'll do 5 more minutes on this. Lilu, that's fantastic. We need these victories. How is New York now gonna vote?
Well, we have to push, but we had 33 assembly members that signed a letter against certification. So we know right off the bat, we've got 33 assembly members that are on our side. And then we've already got legislation introduced in the assembly and the Senate. And that's why it's really important if you're in New York to come to the meeting on Friday, because we have to now start calling these legislators individually and setting up meetings and making sure that we get this passed as quickly as possible before the ESNS comes back and fixes the issues that were listed as a problem and tries to get it certified again. You know, we got a narrow window here and we need to push really hard.
Okay, great. Howard, you want to jump in, Julie, and then Jennifer Tanner and Laura Chamberlain?
Yeah, I listened to the meeting. It was only about 20 minutes long, and the staff had a resolution printed up. And the two reasons they gave for not certifying were problems with the voter being able to verify the ballot through the glass, and it couldn't provide the ballot in languages other than English, which implies that they can come back if they fix those problems. So, you know, legislation to ban these machines is what we really need. Then at the end of the meeting.
Oh, you got muted, Howie. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, at the end of the meeting, they read a letter that just seemed gratuitous. I'm not sure what prompted it, but they were affirming that they support bipartisan boards of election to administer elections. Unlike nonpartisan administration now in Michigan, which I'm not sure what prompted that, but it's interesting that they took the trouble to go on the record.
Okay, got to watch for it. Julie. Thank you, Howie. Julie Wiener.
Yes, hi. Yeah, yeah. There are legislators and election integrity activists who've been pushing for administrative nonpartisan boards of elections. So it's been a taboo subject in New York State conversations about the law until this year. It's starting to be raised by several legislators who are very vulnerable, because in general in New York State, the boards of the commissioners of election in many counties are also the chairs of the parties. So that's true where I live in Westchester. The chairman of up until a month or so ago, when there was a new election, the chairs of the boards of election were also the commissioners of the boards of election were the chairs of the parties. So legislators feel really vulnerable, that their seats are really vulnerable if they call for any revision of the election law. So it might be that a referendum is the way to go, but there are some legislators that are talking about moving in that direction.
Okay.
So that's where that comes from. Yeah, Citizens for Voting Integrity New York has been fighting for paper ballots since the beginning. We did succeed after Help America Vote Act. There was a statewide coalition that defeated touchscreens in New York State until now. We almost got this touchscreen ESNS Express Vote Excel. And there's nothing in the law right now that would stop this machine, that would stop the Board of Elections from being forced to certify it, if there's no law against hybrids, if there's no law against voting machines that count with barcodes. So there's no law against using an out-of-date operating system. There's no law against buying a voting machine from a company that lies repeatedly to the Board of Elections or to government officials. So, and even if we succeed in passing all that, there's no law allowing candidates to request 100% hand count. There's no requirement for 100% hand count, except in the case of very close margin elections. There have been lawsuits where, even when there were distortions, discrepancies in the little 3% of voting machine audit that we have, losing candidates couldn't get 100% hand count, because it takes two election commissioners to escalate the audit. So that never happens, because whichever election commissioner's candidate is ahead vetoes the escalation. So there are a lot of other problems with New York State.
Okay. Sounds like New York needs a statewide referendum to revise their voting system, if that's possible.
If we can't get the legislature to start work on it, we'll need a referendum. Hopefully we can persuade enough legislators. We have some momentum now, because 33 legislators came out against certification of the Express Vote Excel. So hopefully they're starting to see the
problem. Right. We're not working on a referendum right now. We're working on very targeted legislation. Right. In general, our experience is that like do what you know you can do, like small lifts. Like already in the past 2 years, we got one piece of legislation passed that mandated a hand recount in close elections. What Julie just referred to, we just got that. We started advocating for it and the governor signed it into the budget last year. So we got that victory last year. This year we got this victory so far against, you know, the certification of this machine. Now we're gonna try for a legislative victory, very narrow, just banning hybrids. And for smart elections, our strategy right now is take small bites and get a victory and then let that take you to the next victory and do what we think we can actually get done.
So we can call that the piranha strategy.
The piranha strategy?
Take little tiny bites until you kill the thing.
I used to do that when I was a kid. I played this game called Risk where you take over the whole world, and the reason why was I started in this little tiny continent down in one corner, and you only needed to get like four countries to win that, but then you got four extra armies each time, and so I would take over that little continent first, and then eventually I would take over the world every time I won that game. So it's a very successful strategy based on board games.
So far, so good. We are. It's a miraculous victory against the express vote Excel. One that I guess you could say Georgia won it, but then they got a Dominion with a similar problem. But Laura, it's not quite the same. They still have paper. They voted on hand-marked paper ballots, at least.
I think we had questions. Sluggo, you're muted.
How's that? Okay, sorry
about
that.
Much better. Laura, okay, I'm not trying to take over the world. I'm just trying to improve voting systems.
No, we want you to take over the world. Jennifer Tanner, you're next.
Yeah, Lulu, thank you. This is such a huge thing for you, for New York, for all of us. And it's the beginning of, we need to take that same pro forma that you did there in California. In Los Angeles, we've passed, well, I don't remember hearing it called a hybrid, but we do have the print head in the same document and the same machine, VSAP, and no one has really come out against it. So we have to start from scratch with our legislators because California created it. Los Angeles created it. So it's almost worse. And I think we just have to follow you. And also thank you, Julie, for all that you've done.
And Howie too. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jennifer. Laura and then Myra.
Howie, can I just say to Jennifer, I don't know if you heard, but the Express Vote Excel is already certified in California. So there may be counties that are already using it. We're trying to find out, but it's certified there. And it's definitely something that you could go after now based on some of the documentation that we got here.
I think LA County is using it.
No, LA is doing what Jennifer's talking about, the VSAP, Voting Solutions for All People. But that system, she's right, has that same problem. It's not a hybrid. It doesn't combine a printer and a scanner in one because it's not tabulating, but it still has the same bad design.
Right.
Okay, let's exchange notes on that through the chat. And Laura Chamberlain, then Myra Reason.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the great work. And I wanted to ask you two things, and that is your bill in New York about the 100% hand counts in close races. What close races, if you could define that for us real quickly? And secondly, did you get a list from the disability community of machines that they do find more helpful or more accessible to them? That would be really great to share that.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the legislation for hand counts in close margins, what New York passed, I believe, I'm doing this from memory, it's for statewide races, 0.2% margin. And for all other races, it's a 0.5% margin. And if the race comes in closer than that, then it is mandated to have a full hand recount. And the hand recount would be the count of record. In regard to machines that voters with disabilities are in favor of, we're working as closely as possible now with the disability community. The one machine that I know is very popular in the disability community is the Heart
Intercivic?
Verity Touch Writer. Yeah, the Hart Intercivic Verity Touch Writer. And Hart has just applied for certification in New York. We're trying to find out if it's for that machine, but we are gonna be doing a lot more research. There's two other vendors applying in New York, the DLive system. We just had a meeting where the head of that company did a demo, and it looked pretty good for the voters with disabilities that were on that call. One of the things that they really like, there's a couple things that we're looking for. One, we don't want a ballot marking device that tabulates. That's where you get into this trouble with the printer and the scanner in the same path. So all we want, it's really important for all of us, the security advocates, to start making sure whenever you talk about ballot marking devices, be sure and say voters with disabilities need ballot marking devices. It's very, very important that we reach out and work collaboratively with the disability community and really respect their needs. And also emphasize that voters with disabilities deserve secure ballot marking devices, meaning a ballot marking device where we can test whether or not it's been hacked. With a hybrid, you can't because it's tabulating. And if the computer has changed the vote, security experts say that it's basically impossible to detect that. But what we're looking for is a ballot marking device that only prints out the paper ballot. And we'd like that paper ballot to look identical to other ballots, like to the ballots that voters without disabilities are using. So the Verity TouchWriter and the Democracy Live system, as far as I know, both meet those requirements. We're trying to find out more about the security of the different machines by asking our security experts. We'll get more information on our website as we know more. But like the Express Vote Excel, it has what voters with disabilities call a skinny ballot. It's like a little strip of thermal paper. Looks totally different from other voters' ballots. So of course, if only three people in that precinct use that Express Vote Excel and they have this ballot that looks remarkably different from other voters, they feel that their privacy is completely violated. So when we're looking for systems for voters with disabilities, we're looking for systems where the ballots look identical to other voters, and we're looking for systems where the ballot marking device does not tabulate, it just prints.
Fantastic, fantastic. Mallory Reason, and then we're gonna go to Ray McClendon and Joel Siegel to talk about the upcoming summit. Mara?
Well, Lulu, yes, everybody's praising you, and I am as well. Thank you so much for your great work. I didn't really hear an answer to Harvey's question or the answer that I was specifically looking for. And I understand that you have to take into account the needs of the disability community. But I'm wondering, you said when Harvey asked you, how will New Yorkers vote? You said we have legislation, but you didn't explain what that legislation is. And I did hear you later say something about how you're trying to accomplish what you can and not necessarily achieve everything at once, but how close are you to actually mandating hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots in New York State, even though, you know, you will also have the accommodation for disabled individuals?
Oh, you're muted. She's muted.
Did that make sense?
There were a lot of questions there, and I don't know that Harvey wants me to go into all that, but I'll be as fast as I can. Be clear, New York does not hand count ballots right now, except in those instances that I mentioned where the margin is very close, either 0.5 or 0.2%. What we have right now is a system of hand marked paper ballots, which get scanned by optical scanners. They get counted by optical scanners, and then New York mandates a 3% audit of all the machines. So it's a pretty slim audit, and we're trying to improve it. What we're doing, so if your question was hand marked paper ballots, hand counted, we're nowhere near that.
My question is, you said when Harvey asked you how New York votes, you said we have legislation. And
right.
So my question is, does your legislation that you have in the pipeline address the issue of hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots?
Well, if I understood you, Lulu, people in New York vote hand-mark a paper ballot. Is that right?
Well, right. We're trying to preserve that. So this ballot marking device, the Express Vote Excel, would have totally turn that on its head, because that's a touchscreen machine that prints the summary card for you. The legislation that we are advocating for right now is very narrow. And what it says basically is that no voting machine for use in New York can allow the paper ballot to pass under a print head after the voter casts it in any circumstance that would allow that machine to then print votes onto the ballot after the voter casts it, even if the machine is under the control of malware. So it's a very narrow prescription, and we're trying to make sure there's four machines in service that applies to. That's the Express Vote Excel, the Express Vote Standalone, the Dominion ICE, and the VSAP that Jennifer Tanner mentioned. So those are the four systems that we're trying to reject here in New York with this particular piece of legislation. And I'll copy and paste the text into the chat, and I'll put the links to the bill numbers. If you want to try to get that legislation going in your state, I highly recommend it.
Well, Lula, thank you so much. And it's clear that New York is using hand-marked paper ballots. We need to continue that. Julie, thank you for showing us your t-shirt. We do encourage fashion shows on this. I've got my Michigan shirt on, so anybody else wants to display a t-shirt, you're more than welcome. Thank you for that, Julie.
That's from our demonstration.
Okay. Howie's Teamsters thing. So you gotta be careful, Howie. If you disagree, you know, he'll get some Teamsters on you. So okay,
Harvey.
Fantastic. All of our reports should be so upbeat.
Harvey.
We're really thrilled. Did someone want to speak? I want to go to Ray McClendon.
Yeah.
Joel Siegel, Steve Caruso.
Yeah. One point that Bob always makes is that it's always proprietary software these people are using. It's not democracy. It's not public. It's not the thing that we need when you have secret proprietary software running in the background. We can't lose track of that. We have to remember that this is going on. This is like the sheriff taking the ballots, going into a building and counting and making up his own results. That,
you gotta agree.
I think we have to get a judge on our side or bring this up. Just keep beating it. It's proprietary.
There should be a federal law against using proprietary software in any voting machine. That's something we should think about. Absolutely.
That'd be great. There is a new system that New York City is looking into for ranked choice voting, and I haven't fully researched it, but I think I read that it is an open source system. So I'm going to try to find out more about that.
It is
open source.
Is it, Howie?
And the board, not in their meeting, but by letter, is letting the New York City Board of Elections institute it for ranked choice voting. And it's open source, not connected to the internet. It comes from the Ranked Choice Voting Resource Center, which grew out of Fair Vote.
Wow, if you could post that link, that'd be great. Thank you so much for that, Howie. Ray McClendon, I see Lynn Feinerman has a hand. Can you do it real quick, Lynn, or should we go straight to Ray?
Yeah, I can do it really quick. Not only proprietary is bad, the truth is that we don't know who owns these companies. They are private equity and they are able to hide themselves. And it's very important who they are. They are, well, many of them right-wing people.
Right. And we pointed out, Bob and I pointed out, Fitrakis and I pointed out in 28 that the voting machine in Cincinnati were owned by the Romney family in 28 or 2012. Owned by the Romney family, which is running for president. People didn't think that was a problem, that the guy running for president owned the voting machines, but somehow it shouldn't be that way. Okay, Ray McClendon and Joel Siegel, we are planning a summit. And thank you again, Lynn and Julie and Howie, for your great work on this. Always wonderful to celebrate a victory. Ray, do you want to jump on with Joel Siegel and tell us about the upcoming summit, and then we'll go to Hedy and Steve Rosenfeld. You've got a t-shirt on. What's your t-shirt?
We're repping shirts. So I got to rep my Morehouse shirt today in recognition of our senior senator from Georgia, who's my brother Morehouse grad, Raphael Warnock.
Go for it. All right. All right, so what is this upcoming summit that we're going to do?
Great. I'm in the interest of time, I'm going to allow Joel to speak more about it. As you all know, we've been looking at the existential crisis that we face with our democracy. We see what's going on in, unfortunately, in Myanmar right now. And but for a few brave folks like Eugene Goodman, who induced and invoked the mob to go to the right instead of to the left, and we could have been in a very similar situation on January the 6th. So this event that we're putting on February 25th, we're inviting all of you to talk about how we can turn this up a notch, because this battle that we're in now is more than progressives versus conservatives. It's those who love freedom and democracy versus those who are part of a cult and believe in autocracy. So with that, I'll turn it over to Joel.
Joel Siegel, where are you?
Hi.
Okay, there you go. Here. Okay.
Hi. I have another, and that's
okay.
One of the great powerful words of all time. So actually, you know, Ray was really, in my opinion, did so much to preserve democracy and get rid of a tyrant by organizing 19 NAACPs across Georgia, and with the work of Stacey Abrams and just this very, very critical on the ground work, we feel like there's a need to really explain the Georgia miracle, you know, and the Michigan gerrymandering miracle. But if we can really teach to grassroots organizers, to Democratic Party organizers, to students, what happened in Georgia and how there was a, Ray, was it 90% turnout? Is that correct? Voter turnout?
92% of the general election, Black voters turned out for the runoffs, which is unprecedented.
And then, you know, back in the day when I you know, was really serious about Democratic Party politics or working government, one thing I used to always hear was the reason why elected officials did not pay attention to Black voters was they said they didn't vote in high numbers. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One was that oftentimes the politicians really weren't running on anything that Black voters or Hispanic or students wanted to listen to, because they were corporate Democrats. And I think the Georgia miracle is you had two younger candidates running for Senate who were more progressive, but it was the voter turnout that was the result of grassroots door-to-door organizing, you know, a lot of hard work canvassing during COVID-19. So on the 25th sorry about that, my video.
It's all right, just go ahead and talk. We get your good.
Yeah. We're gonna have a series of symposiums at Yale University, George Mason, trying to get Morehouse and a lot of HBCUs. The target audience is going to be students, the academic community, local, state, federal elected officials, you know, thought leaders, interfaith leaders, to really explain what happened in Georgia so it can be replicated in those swing states, because the midterm elections are in 2 years. Same kind of voter suppression and crazy tactics of the far right are not going to disappear. In fact, they're going to be worse, but we're going to be ready for them this time around by being more organized. So we want to form the first of its kind election protection GOTV multiracial coalition that's well-funded with organizers. And we're going to launch this movement. Christian Nunes will be speaking. There's going to be a lot of people on this call speaking about not only the Georgia miracle, but what are the vestiges of Jim Crow, you know, whether it's gerrymandering, the Electoral College, voter suppression, not allowing same-day registration, the gutting of the 1965 Civil Rights Act. What's happened is there's been like a fragmented movement, well-intentioned, to deal with, you know, Jim Crow violations of voting, but hasn't really been serious enough and organized enough with enough critical mass to change law. And to change gerrymandering law is going to take a lot of work and a lot of collaboration. So we're establishing what's going to be called a blue-green fund. And the blue-green fund, we hope, will raise funds for organizations like the NAACP during midterms or presidential cycles. There'll be enough money to give the grassroots organizers funds for GOTV, which they're denied of. The Democratic Party spends their money on TV commercials, but not, you know, the most important, you know, element of winning an election, and that's voter contact. So, you know, we're hoping that we're going to do a series of these symposiums and town hall meetings. We're not just doing one. This will be the first. We're very, very serious about this. You know, Ray McClendon is the chair. This is a project of this coalition, and we're going to need a lot of input, by the way, from everybody on this call. You know, Ray and I and Christian and others, we don't believe in top down. We believe in grassroots bottom up. So we're looking forward to making sure that we get the input and participation of each and every one of you on this call, because you're all leaders. There's no reason why there are people on this call who on their own volition can't, you know, start some kind of effort to fix the gerrymandering laws. And I'll close by saying the book Rat Fuck, I know it's a funny word.
Everybody loves to say the title of that book, you know.
I enjoy saying it, but the word is based on actually a political term that was used back in the day by politicians. But if you look at gerrymandering, we've accepted it as, oh, that's what Republicans and Democrats do to win elections. They draw the lines. It's much worse than that. It's strictly done on race. It's to exclude Blacks and students from, you know, winning elections. And there comes a time where, you know, I call it voting apartheid. It has to be ended. So I can't wait to work on that. And then the you know, the Electoral College is the ultimate form of voter suppression. And the reason why we got to be really concerned about, I'm going to wrap up in 20 seconds, we have to be concerned about voter suppression, about the Electoral College and reforming it, is because any dictator can come again and win the presidency, because who the majority of people vote for doesn't win. So a Trump can be elected again as long as we have the Electoral College. A lot of people are very pissed off about it. It is the vestige of Jim Crow. We don't need it. And that's it. So thank you.
Okay, so the summit will be conducted through Yale University and George Mason. It's going to be at 4 p.m. in the afternoon on February 25th. And if you'll put the post.
It'll be 2 p.m.
Sorry, Ray?
2 p.m. Eastern.
2 to 3:30.
11 Pacific.
Okay, that's right, because we decided we didn't want to have people have to get up real early on the West Coast. So 2 p.m. February 25th, put it on your calendar. Joel and Ray will be the principal organizers. Send them any suggestions. It will be jointly auspices with the with Yale and George Mason and other major institutions. And it's going to be a big deal. So we will continue to spread notifications to everybody who's interested. Aaron Rusetta and then Myra. Aaron?
Thank you. I don't have a t-shirt, but I will hold up the icon for open source software, the penguin.
Okay. The Linux. Very good.
Yeah. My quick question was, we have a lot of legislation moving in Georgia right now to expand the repugnant voter suppression. We have a law that require two forms of ID now to be able to vote absentee and things like that. So I'm wondering what called it. I want to encourage, I guess, Ray and Joel to be encouraging their people to be out and speaking to the legislature and doing what they can right now to stop these laws from being enacted in the first place.
That'll be a big topic at the summit for sure. That's a key point that we really need to discuss. And Steve Rosenfeld will be on with us to discuss some stuff about that in other states. But good point, Aaron. Thank you very much.
No, you're absolutely right, Aaron. We're already on it. We're working with Andrea Miller and Elsa from Democracy Centers and Center for Common Ground. we're drafting letters to both state representatives and to state senators, because there are multiple bills that have been introduced. And so we're already on that, but as Harvey said, it just goes to the fact that we have got to redouble our efforts on organizing to be a year-round, in-season and out-of-cycle force to be reckoned with if we're going to deal with these issues going forward, because
I'd like to just
Joel, then Myla, yeah. Then Daniel Wolf, and then we're going to go to Hetty Tripp to talk about her coalition, and then Steve.
So just to riff a little bit, just very briefly. I mean, you play tennis in high school. I played basketball in high school. If you stay on defense all the time, then the offense scores. So, right? So we're going to go on the offense this time and put the right wing on the defense, because they have to be pressured to explain why do they gerrymander and base elections by putting black people in Republican districts. The same thing goes with all the other issues we've talked about. We're going to go on the offensive and we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And a lot of times progressives are used to losing. You know, Ray and I always say we love reading history, but we'd rather make it. Thanks.
Okay. Myla, and then Daniel Wolf, and then we can go to Hetty.
On the topic of gerrymandering, you know, Ralph Nader has been doing really covering this, and he spotlighted this woman, Katie Fahey, in Michigan, who kind of led the successful campaign. And I put a link to his interview with her in the chat. And I'm wondering, Joel, if she is going to be part of your event focusing on gerrymandering, because
somehow you got muted. We've had that.
Hold on. Is she on your radar? And if she's not, it would be really great to get her on this call sometime.
Okay, soon. We'll do that. We've been working with Jan Bandor from Michigan. I'm sure Katie and Jan know each other, and we can, you know, we can hopefully connect to that. And
hey, thank you for that.
Real quick, Sluggo, is it accurate to say if people have these experts who are working with Ralph Nader and other leaders like that, that they should reach out and try to invite them to the Zoom? So Myla, you could be doing that yourself. So this is a grassroots organization, or, you know, it's not even really an organization, it's just a grassroots bunch of people. And so Myla, you come up with great suggestions, but you don't need to wait on anybody else doing it. We're all leaders here. So Myla, you're great. A very self-directed.
Of course. Thank you for that. Great. But I was just thinking that Sluggo has an easier time getting through to Ralph.
Well, we'll get to Ralph, and we'll get to Jan Bandor.
It's hard to get to.
Jan will be part of the Michigan Miracle discussion. And then, as I said,
yeah, we want to have Ralph Nader, Jan Bandor, who was she was part of Michigan. We certainly want to bubble up those kinds of ideas and innovations, because it's going to take all of us to make this work.
Absolutely. And along with the Michigan Miracle, if we can get rid of that football coach, I'd be thrilled. Daniel Wolf, you want to join in here?
Yeah, thanks. Just going back to this Electoral College, I heard an interesting idea the other day, referring back to the origins of the apportionment of the Congress to be 435 representatives. That was set by ordinary legislation in 1925, something like that, when the population per congressional district was around 260,000 people per district. Now it's over 700,000. It struck this person making the suggestion, that if we expanded the House, if we double the House, which would make it still smaller than many parliaments in Europe, it would dilute the effect in the Electoral College of the Senate votes in the Electoral College. And because most of those delegations, most of the congressional districts would be urban congressional districts, and that would, of course, give Democrats an advantage. It would reduce the importance. It would not require a constitutional amendment. It would require mere majorities in both houses to get through. And once it were put through, it would be very, very difficult to unfreeze, because congressmen really hate to lose their jobs. So it's just an idea to start maybe circulating, you know, it could. Right. It, yeah, so there
it's
you go.
It's a great idea. I think we should also institute the $15 an hour pay level for people in the Congress. That would be very helpful, senators and congresspeople. That would be good. Okay, wonderful. Okay, we're going to go to Hedy Tripp, then Steve Rosenfeld, and then Dr. Wara. Hedy and I have only known each other 40 years. We met on a boat in Lake Toba in Sumatra in 1975. I won't go into the detail, but Hedy, you have a coalition you want to present to us in a short slideshow, and Soraya is with us as well. So go ahead, Hedy, please.
Well, unfortunately, Soraya had to leave for another meeting. I just wanted to show you my t-shirt. Thank you. I'm going to try and share screen. So bear with me if this works. If not, we have something else. We will just walk through it. Can you focus here? Yes.
There we go.
All right. I can't see it, but
this National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum, Georgia chapter runoff wins.
Okay. And then the next one, can you see it?
Yeah.
Good. All right. So my point is that Asian American Pacific Islanders as APIs, we are the fastest growing racial group in the US. So even if you're looking at smaller numbers, you're looking at growing numbers, that they will double. By the time at 2040, we're looking at a prediction of 12.2 million.
Wow.
And you have to remember too, that when you say Asian Americans, these are people from over 30 countries and ethnic subpopulations that speak more than 100 languages. You know some of them, Sluggo. And so there's a need for disaggregated data to address these needs. Now, 35% of Asian American Pacific Islanders have limited English proficiency. Now, of these, 43% watch and listen to news from other languages. So it's possible that they're not getting information about candidates and issues. Now, our research is quantitative and qualitative. I will put in the chat an issue brief called Mighty Voices. But from that, we've seen that 90% of women voters are terrified that facts and truth don't seem to matter. And about 28% of women voters, API vote, faced barriers when they voted. They faced racism, sexism, classism, and also patriarchy within the family cultural norms. There are stories in that issue brief that I will give to you. And then importantly, in the 2018 midterm elections, we see an emerging trend that API voters are moving to the left of the political spectrum and therefore supporting progressive legislative agendas. So it's really important. Now, voter suppression in Georgia, and Soraya can talk to it a little bit more as we get to the next slides. In 2018, Gwinnett County, they tossed out 15% absentee ballots submitted by Asian Americans compared to 11.4% of Black and 4% white. So you're looking at a real disparity. Let me put on the next slide here. Okay, so these are important pieces. Soraya, do you wanna quickly highlight some of them?
So in Georgia alone, for the runoff elections, we were able to get in contact with 40,000 voters. Mm-hmm. And you see some of like the numbers here, 15,000 over the phone, 25,000 over text. We also sent out postcards in language to the Asian American voters that we could not contact over the phone or through text so that it could be more accessible. We were able to get like a lot of people interested in voting. And specifically after the election, it says that 87.8% of the people that we canvassed were interested in voting. And so we went back after the election and looked at that data to like confirm like and see how many people actually voted. And 80% of the folks that we canvassed went out and voted. And we've seen that we've seen like the focus on AAPI voters in Georgia in the recent years, specifically because we've seen that AAPI voters tend to be more progressive, but like are largely left out of the political conversation. When we started the voter rights work in Georgia as an AAPOC chapter in 2017, 18, almost 95% of the voters that we spoke to said they did not hear from the Republican Party, sorry, the Democratic Party, and 98% of the voters that we spoke to said they did not hear from the Democratic Party. So largely, most AAPI voters up until the recent election season had no contact with elected officials or parties or nonprofits canvassing them.
And some very cool things, again, what they did in Georgia was in language, and that is so critical for Asian American community. Remember, Asian is huge. Can you speak to the in language piece just very quickly, Soraya?
We actually had canvassers that spoke 12 different languages canvassed in Georgia. We spoke Burmese, Bangla, Korean, Urdu, Hindi, Tamil, Chinese, and Vietnamese, and a few more. I'm like forgetting the numbers. So we, for our programming, not only did we do like in-language canvassing, we also did in-language programming to train our community members around their voting rights. So as Hedy already mentioned, voter suppression is something that disproportionately impacts Asian American voters, particularly new immigrants that are exercising their right to vote for the first time or and so we created this program called the Voter Defenders Program, which was like a training program for like our community members to teach them about how, like teach them to protect themselves and their communities against voter suppression. So like how to ensure that like you are registering to vote on time, how to make sure that if you're-
Soraya, you were in the forefront of creating that. And I want folks to recognize that. This is just, we are a small group. How many folks are there in Georgia? Like eight? How many?
Oh, there's 45 members.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Fabulous. But you started from a small core group of what, three
or
four?
You should be you should be in touch with Ray at the NAACP for sure in Atlanta.
Yeah, but I would love Soraya to be on that. And you see the work that she's done. And again, it was, there's quantitative and qualitative research that goes into this. And that is so critical in the work that we do. I'm going to just put that up there and not go through it. Thank you so much, Soraya. But what I'm finding with this, our group, is that you've done getting out the vote, but we as an organization have not really worked into, well, are your votes being counted? So this is why I am here with you, and I bring amazing folks like Soraya in there to learn how we can complement our work with that. We don't have the capacity to do all the work that you do, but we want your knowledge. Would you agree, Soraya, as we say thank you to everyone?
Thank you, Harvey.
Say goodbye, but we will. We'll see you next week in election protection land. And we will be maybe in the middle of the impeachment trial. That could be wild and it could be brief. At any rate, we'll see you guys next week.